day and welcome to today's iPro CMS Home Health Quality Improvement Campaign conference call. This call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Butterfield. Please go ahead, Ms. Butterfield.
Thank you, Melissa, and good morning and welcome to everyone. We appreciate your patience on waiting on the line for the last 5 minutes. We've had an overwhelming response to today's call, so we are trying to get as many people as possible onto the call before we started, so we definitely appreciate your patience. We're very excited this morning to be able to talk to you about the exciting new CMS initiative that's called the Home Health Quality Improvement National Campaign. And all of you received a recruitment package the week before last with information with regards to the campaign. We sent that to you both via email and also hard copy U.S. mail. But we also wanted to have the opportunity to share more specific information with you about the initiative, about the national launch of the campaign, and how this initiative fits with the work you're already doing, targeting reduction of acute care hospitalization, and actually how this will be rolled out for everyone in New York, and sort of get your comments and recommendations on what we have planned here for the New York agencies. The PowerPoint presentation that we're going to be referencing on today's call was forwarded on Friday to the Administrator, Director of Patient Services, Director of Quality Management, and our HCCP liaison, the iPro liaison for your agency. If for some reason you didn't receive them or you're sitting there without the slides in front of you, you can go to our website to download a copy, and I'll give you the URL address to get to our website. It's the iPro website, and it's https://providers.ipro.org/index/home health. Again, it's providers.ipro.org/index/home health. That'll bring you to the home health section of the website, and on the page it brings you to, if you just go under the current events section, you'll see the first bullet point in the upcoming events section has this call listed. If you click on that, it'll bring you to the slides for today's program. Also, some of the information that we're going to be covering on today's call is also in that recruitment package that we sent to you, so it's sort of a combination of information, more specific information on today's call about New York. The call is being taped, and we're going to be posting it to the iPro website within the next 4 to 5 days. Same URL address that I just gave you, and it'll be posted under the past events section of the website. So if there's anyone else within your agency, any of your senior leadership that weren't able to make it to the call, or even some staff, it'll be posted for them to access and to listen to after the fact. As Melissa mentioned, currently your lines are muted. After today's presentation, we're going to open it up for, again, your questions and any discussion and comments that you might have. So I'm going to move on first to slide number 2. And in addition to our home health project team on today's call, which includes Dr. Imparato, Chris Siegel, and Vicki Agramonte, we're also very pleased to have with us on today's call Rose Duhan, and Rose is the Senior Analyst for Home and Community-Based Services for HANES, the Healthcare Association of New York State. We also have Lexi Silver, and Lexi is the Director of Development and Special Projects at the Home Care Association of New York State, and Margaret Clark, and Margaret is the Assistant Director of Public Policy for the New York State Association of Healthcare Providers. And we're very pleased to have them joining us. As I mentioned to you on previous calls, these organizations are all members of our iPro Home Health Steering Committee, and we've worked closely together over the past several years on the initiatives that we've brought to you over the years within the CMS scopes of work. And for the Home Health Quality Improvement National Campaign, CMS has created the structure for the QIOs, Quality Improvement Organizations, which is what iPro is for New York State, and the state associations to partner together as what's termed a local area network of excellence. You'll see the logo on that slide that says LANE. The local area network of excellence will work together to support the campaign and all of your efforts as you work together once you have joined the campaign. And I'm going to give you some more information about the responsibilities that we have all taken on as the LANE in a few more minutes. But let's first take a look at the objectives for today's call. You're going to see those listed on slide number 3. I'm going to provide you an overview of the CMS Home Health Quality Improvement National Campaign. We're going to review the benefits of participation and also the process for registration if you haven't had an opportunity to register to date. We're going to discuss the New York Local Area Network of Excellence, or the LANE, the educational opportunities that we'll be affording the New York agency participants, and also discuss some next steps for participation, which include some excellent educational offerings and opportunities that we're going to include as part of the campaign for New York. So let's start on slide number 4. The campaign, the Home Health Quality National Campaign, or we'll refer to it as the campaign, was launched by CMS last week on Thursday, January 11th, at what was called the Home Health Quality Improvement National Summit. It was hosted by CMS in Baltimore, Maryland, and it entailed a day-long event at the CMS Baltimore office. It was invitation-only event, and some of the speakers included Dr. Barry Straub, and Dr. Straub is the Director of Chief Clinical Officer of the Office of Clinical Standards and Quality for CMS. Cynthia Pammon, she is our government task leader for the Home Health Project for CMS. Robin Stone, Robin is the executive director of the Institute for the Future of Aging Services at the American Association of Homes and Services for the Aging. And also members of the executive steering committee for the campaign, which also includes representatives from the national associations. And in a couple minutes, we'll look at some of who those key stakeholders actually are. When we get further along in the presentation, Margaret and Rose are going to share with you a little later what went on at the summit and give you their perspective and the experiences that they had at the summit and the key messages that were delivered. And for those of you that would want to listen to the audio of the summit, they're supposed to be posting the audio presentations of each of the speakers on the campaign website later today, at least by tomorrow, if you're interested in listening into the presentations. You'll be able to do that just like you were actually there. The major focus of the campaign is that campaign participants will work to reduce the number of avoidable hospitalizations in the home care setting while improving outcomes and patient satisfaction. So you'll see that's also in tune with the acute care hospitalization initiative that we've been working on with you since August. This is a 12-month campaign. And as you'll see when we look at the particular topic areas of focus, the campaign has an interdisciplinary approach, both from the key stakeholder level to the actual intervention strategies and packages and the information contained within that will be provided to you. On slide number 5, you'll find the goals and the CMS vision of the campaign. And the goal is to seek to unite the home care community under the shared vision of reducing avoidable hospitalizations and to improve the quality of patient care. And the campaign itself and this particular goal focuses on patients and aligns with the CMS vision for delivery of the right care at the right time, every time for our patients. The measurement goal, which you'll see on slide number 6, is to reduce the average acute care hospitalization rate across all campaign participant home health agencies. And they'd like to see a reduction of 5% relative improvement from their beginning baseline to the end of the campaign. And the key there is relative improvement. In other words, what they're looking at is the amount of improvement for each agency that registers relative to the agency's baseline rate. And we'll get into just in a second where those baseline rates come from. Agencies with a higher baseline rate or a higher acute care hospitalization rate are expected to achieve greater improvements than agencies with lower baseline rates. The baseline rates that CMS is using are the risk-adjusted agency-level rates from the 12-month OBQI report period ending September 30th, 2006. So those are the reports that are currently posted to CASPR for you to download for your OBQI reports. They're also the same reports and same acute care hospitalization rates that we forwarded to you on your trend reports last month. So that'll be your baseline rate. Remeasurement rates will be the risk-adjusted agency level rate from the 12-month period ending February 28, 2008. And that's expected to be posted and available mid-May 2008. So although that sounds like a ways off, we know from the agencies that have been working on this for a while, it really isn't that far off, and there's a lot of work that can be achieved during that time period. Slide number six gives you a table that gives you an example of what expected improvements would be. And again, that's a 5% relative improvement. So you can see if your home health agency baseline rate is around 40% or is 40%, what they're looking for you to bring that the rate down by participating is to 38%. Same thing if your rate is in 20% range, they're looking for you to have a 5% relative improvement down to 19%. Now, similar to what the work we've been doing with you on target setting, there's no penalty if you do not achieve that 5% relative improvement. But certainly, it's a goal to strive for, and we have seen some agencies achieve that and surpass that in the work they've been doing with us since the Acute Care Hospitalization Initiative began. So certainly, no penalty if you don't meet the goal, but very important that you strive to meet that goal, and you'll be getting monthly reports to show you how you are in progressing towards that goal. And certainly that target goal is a piece of the improvement process, as you know from other presentations that we've done with you. So that gives you sort of perspective of the measurement goal that CMS is looking for participants in the national campaign. On slide number seven, we've listed the key national stakeholders that I mentioned before. Certainly NOC is one of the key stakeholders and part of the steering committee. But you'll also notice as you go through the Visiting Nurses Association of America, American Association for Home Care, American Telemedicine Association, Hospice and Palliative Nurses Association, also representatives from OT, PT, Speech, CMS, Gentiva Health Services, Visiting Nurse Service of New York, the Center for Home Health Care Policy and Research, and also the Remington Report. Very interdisciplinary list of key stakeholders, and again, these key stakeholders have been instrumental in providing guidance to CMS and the Home Health Kiosk, who's leading the national campaign. On slide number eight, I've listed for you the responsibilities of the LANE. I mentioned the associations that are working with us on the national campaign. We have been working as a united group right along for the Acute Care Hospitalization Initiative. We're going to be working together more closely, focusing on recruitment of agencies for the home health quality campaign. Also, communicating to you the status of the campaign, any news updates or particular new information related to the campaign. Also, coming together to provide you educational offerings and opportunities, guidance and support as you review the intervention strategies that are going to be made available to you, and also the reports to help you understand the materials and understand how to implement them within your agency. And also shared learning. We've been doing a series of conference calls, as you know, since September, where we actually have agencies sharing with you who have demonstrated success, how they achieve that success. And we've gotten very positive feedback on those calls. So definitely the shared learning we want to continue with. So on slide number nine, we're going to start talking about the benefits of participation in the campaign. And before we start, I want to address a couple of the most frequently asked questions we've received since the announcement of the campaign occurred. And those questions relate to how is the campaign different than the ACH initiative we're currently working on with IPRO? What is the benefit of our participating? Many agencies have voiced concern because they're already doing several things, many initiatives, both related to the work they're doing with us and work within their agency. And also, what additional work is required if they participate in the campaign? So you have to look at the campaign as sort of the next step for the Acute Care Hospitalization Initiative. The materials and the reports that are available to you participating in the campaign will actually supplement the work that you're currently doing to reduce acute care hospitalization. As you'll see when we work through some of the tools and resources that will be provided, actually take you to that next step in your plan of action. And for those of you who have done little or nothing to date to address acute care hospitalization within your agency, the campaign provides you a step-by-step process and structure to start and improve implementation within your agency of some of these interventions to help target reduction of avoidable acute care hospitalization. So there's a definite benefit no matter where you are along with the issue of acute care hospitalization. Some of you have had a lot of staff turnover, new people within your quality department, or loss of a quality person, and perhaps some of the strategies that you were targeting sort of have been left at the wayside because of some other priorities within the agency. This will help get you back on track, and again, trying to target reduction of avoidable acute care hospitalizations. So first, I'd like to talk about the monthly intervention packages that are going to be accessible to campaign participants. And I need to stress that you all have been used to us sharing everything with everyone within the state whenever we do interventions and educational opportunities. The structure of this campaign is that you actually have to register for participation in order to receive these intervention packages and also those monthly reports. And we're going to review that registration process with you in just a few minutes. So first, monthly intervention packages. Agencies that register for participation are going to have access to online tools, resources, guidelines, information, best practice educational material. What will happen is we will notify you, we will send you an email and let you know that the monthly intervention packages have been posted, and you have the ability to go to the campaign website and download that and review the information. The intervention package materials are designed for all agency clinical disciplines, and that includes your support staff, administration, senior leadership, and management. And again, we think that'll be very helpful to you because at least over this last year, we've seen a great turnover of staff, whether it be from clinical to senior leadership. So I think this will definitely be helpful to agencies that are struggling with that issue. The intervention packages are also structured so that you can use it for new hire orientation, so not having to create a separate orientation piece for your new hires. You can incorporate this actual package into their orientation process. And you as an agency can pick and choose which of the intervention strategies, which of the components may support your acute care hospitalization reduction efforts for your agency. And certainly we are here to guide you on the particular issues or problems you might be encountering in your agency and to see which of those intervention strategies may be the best fit for your organization. On slide number 10, you'll see that the campaign website, www.homehealthquality.org, is listed there for you. And what you'll be able to do, we'll send you an email, and you'll be able to go to that website and download the intervention packages. They're anticipated to be available the first week of each month. So you have a structure if you have monthly staff meetings or educational meetings with your staff to know when those materials will be available. And the intervention packages are designed as sort of pieces of the puzzle to reduce avoidable acute care hospitalizations. And when I refer to the pieces of the puzzle, we're going to look at the specific topic areas that will be included by the monthly into the monthly intervention packages. And if you move to slide number 11, you'll see the tentative schedule for the intervention packages themselves. You'll see the best practice topic areas really cross over all those different pieces to the puzzle. And for those of you who have been working with us on acute care hospitalization, you'll notice that these intervention strategies are the ones that we've been working on with you. What CMS and the Home Health Kiosk has done is they've chosen to focus on the interventions that have demonstrated success on a national level in reducing avoidable acute care hospitalization. And each of the areas, hospitalization risk assessment, the patient emergency plan, medication management, phone monitoring and front-loading visits, teletriage, telemonitoring, those are all also components of the FASI study, of the best practice acute care hospitalization, the particular measures that have demonstrated improvement for agencies that have implemented that. They've also incorporated areas on immunization, physician relationships, and that incorporates physician communication, fall prevention, patient self-management, disease management, and traditional care coordination. So it gives you a sense of each month what the intervention packages will be focused on. And the beauty of the design of the intervention packages is that each of them have two tracks for an agency to follow. And if you move on to slide number 12, you can see that track number one is designed for agencies that are not currently using the best practice intervention. For example, if you have not implemented a risk assessment tool within your agency, the March intervention package will contain a track for you to follow to look at that intervention, see if it's a fit within your organization, and implement that within your organization. So those of you that may choose to use the content for understanding the best practice intervention, and it'll help you with potential efficacy to understand the application to your agency. For those of you that have been diligently working on acute care hospitalization, and for instance, risk assessment tool is something that you've already put together and are using within your organization, there's a track designed for agencies that are currently using that best practice intervention, and it contains content to assess the current effectiveness of the intervention and potentially improve with the use of the intervention. And as we said all along, your plans of action are a work in progress. And we know from working with many of you and talking with many of you that you are moving on to this next step of choosing additional best practices or trying to improve on the ones that you've actually implemented. I mentioned before the interdisciplinary approach, and if you move on to the next slide, you'll note that the intervention package is also divided into two specific sections. The first section is targeted towards administrators and managers, so the senior leadership within your organization. And the section is going to include a brief description of the best practice interventions and the potential application, a self-assessment tool to determine the current effectiveness and evaluate opportunity to more effectively reduce avoidable acute care hospitalization, some sample tools, and also an action item checklist so you can select potential actions for implementation and an action plan worksheet to guide implementation. So really a step-by-step management level to assess the current status of the organization and potential application for that particular intervention. On slide 14, you'll see a description of section 2 of the intervention packages. Again, it provides a brief description of the best practice in intervention, application to the specific discipline. You'll notice at the top the disciplines that are included in this section are the skilled nurse, physical therapist, occupational therapist, speech therapist, social work, and also the home health aide. So it's multidisciplinary with information for each of those disciplines. There's a 15-minute audio recording that can be shared with the staff. And again, think of this also during the orientation process. Some sample tools, a guide to practical application, which is actually a checklist, a simple checklist to follow, multidisciplinary success stories, and supporting resources. And I'm very proud to say that some of our agencies in New York are actually agencies that are included in those success stories. So very comprehensive package for the clinical staff. Each month you'll be able to access the intervention packages. We'll send you the email. You can download and save them. You can decide if that particular strategy is applicable to your agency. And we're here to provide you with the support and guidance on implementing that strategy. We'll also be providing participants with monthly educational sessions on that particular intervention strategy and how to apply the principles that are contained within the package, so to provide you guidance along the way. So let's move on to the second major benefit that is afforded to participants, and that is the monthly report. And a description of that starts for you on slide number 15. All of the agencies who register to participate will receive monthly individualized agency-specific reports. iPro will be downloading these reports from a secure website. We'll print them out for each of the agency participants, and we'll forward them to you along with the monthly trend reports that we currently forward to you on a monthly basis. The customized reports provide you with state and national benchmarking rates. And you'll see there listed agency national percentile ranking, comparing your agency to the 20th percentile and 10th percentile ranking nationally, your statewide percentile ranking, and then the statewide 20th and 10th percentile rates. We know with pay for performance on the horizon, many of you are very interested in the percentile ranking, both on a national and statewide level. At the end of December, we forwarded to the administrator and HICCP liaison for each of your agencies a ranking document that provided comparison of your agency to all of the other New York State agencies and to other agencies of your type. For instance, if you're a standalone long-term care agency or a combined agency that serves both traditional CHOP patients and long-term care patient population. And I have to say that the interest generated and in some cases the surprise of where agencies ranked on a statewide level was very evident from the calls we received. So it is interesting to see, and you'll be able to see month to month, how you rank for each of those particular categories. Again, I go back to the pay for performance because we have this unique opportunity now to ramp up and improve acute care hospitalization. We know that it's one of the highest weighted measures that is proposed for the pay for performance demonstration project. And for those that were waiting to see if it actually happened, it's on its way, as you know from listening to the Home Health Open Door Forum. If you take a look at slide number 16, you'll see a snapshot of the example of the first page of the report. You also have a copy of this probably in a larger format within the recruitment package that we forwarded to you. You can see that all of the percentiles I mentioned are provided to you on a month-by-month basis. You also get a nice trend report of your actual acute care hospitalization rate, and that's the non-risk-adjusted rate that you get off of your OBQI reports. And it also then compares you on the trend line to your risk-adjusted rate, which is what you see on Home Health Compare. So your actual rate is just your simple your agency rate with no risk adjustment, and the second element data point will be the your risk-adjusted rate, which is what you see currently on those monthly trend reports that we send to you. You'll be able to actually see the comparison itself. The second page of the individualized agency-specific report is going to provide you with case mix characteristics of hospitalized patients. It is going to provide you with the number of monthly hospitalizations out of totals and transfers by the month. And again, think the reports you have now, your OBQI reports, provide you a 12-month summary of data. These are a monthly breakdown of your hospitalizations out of your total transfers and discharge. Also, percentage of hospital admissions by urgency of hospitalization, reason for hospitalization, and even drill down to the day of the week by month that those hospitalizations are occurring for your agency. So it definitely helps drilling down to the data to find what may be driving particular factors driving your acute care hospitalization rate, and definitely will give you a sense of the reasons for hospitalization, again by month, that are occurring within your agency. If you look at slide 18, that's going to provide you an example of what that report will look like. Again, it's a monthly breakdown. I know it's a little hard for you to see on the slide, but again, I'll refer you to that recruitment package that we sent you. The beauty of these reports is it helps you really drill down to the causative factor. Again, I want to stress that it's the monthly, month-by-month tracking. For those of you that serve the long-term care population and have limitations with your OBQI reports, as you know, we've been telling you right along, what's important to track is the rate of hospitalizations each month, and what this report provides you is that information drilled down even further by reason for hospitalization and even the day of the week. So it definitely has some benefits for those of you serving the long-term population that you may not get from your regular OBQI reports. So I'm going to move on to slide number 19, and we'll review some of the highlights that we've discussed so far regarding the benefits of participation. Again, optimizing your performance with free, and we have to stress that the materials, the intervention packages, the reports, the guidance and support, the educational offerings that all come with the campaign are free of charge to your agency. They're part of the CMS initiative and are funded by CMS. You'll be able to get the resources and tools, have the opportunity to network and benchmark based on CMS data. And again, I have to stress the official CMS data, the data that's going to be used for pay-for-performance, the data that's used for home health compare, the data that CMS is using to track our statewide performance for acute care hospitalization. The resource tools, as we mentioned, are multidisciplinary. Support staff and administration and management are included. And there's also built into the intervention packages opportunities to earn continuing education credits. And I know that I've received some calls over the past few weeks from education coordinators within agencies looking for opportunities for CEU credits. So here you have it already built into the intervention packages to use with your staff within the agency. Moving on to slide number 20. You can improve your acute care hospitalization rate or sustain an exemplary rate without creating additional burden. And I want to mention that other than monitoring your best practices, which we have stressed with you is important because it doesn't make sense to implement an intervention strategy and then not monitor it to see that the staff are carrying it out. It's sort of a useless waste of time because if it's not being carried out, it's not going to do anything to improve your rate. So we do encourage you to do, on a monthly basis, sample monitoring of the best practices or any of these intervention strategies that you implement. However, there is no additional data collection. There's nothing you have to submit to the campaign website. There's nothing you have to submit to us unless you're part of the clinical identified participant group. So anyone that is considering participating, is worried about, you know, having to submit data to CMS, those reports that are coming to you are your data, and you're able to track your rates with by those reports. The design of the intervention packages supports implementation with agencies with limited resources and staff. We know that many of you have one person that is doing 18 jobs, one of which includes quality improvement. The resources, tools, and reports are an excellent supplement to streamline your current QI efforts. Many of the principles, if you go back to that list of the strategies, cross over to other QI initiatives within your organization, fall prevention, immunizations, physician communication. So they're applicable to other quality measures other than acute care hospitalization. And also provides a structured implementation process for focus on acute care hospitalizations for agencies that are just starting to look at their systems and processes and how to reduce avoidable acute care hospitalizations for their agency. For pay for performance, you actually have the opportunity to prepare your agency and identify potential cost savings that are related to decreasing avoidable acute care hospitalization. As you saw with those monthly reports, they provide you a monthly benchmark data, comparing your agency to statewide and national percentile rankings, and drill down data to help you improve your acute care hospitalization rate. I mentioned before the ranking document we sent to you. The second page and third page of those ranking documents contained a potential cost savings for reduction of avoidable acute care hospitalizations, and it provided you a statewide ranking and the potential cost savings for your agency if you were able to reduce your acute care hospitalization rate by 5%, 10%, or 20%. And what you see on slide 22 is a summary of that information from a statewide level. New York agencies currently spend over $34 million in labor costs related to acute care hospitalization. The staff time for transfer and for resumption of care equates out to about average of about 3 hours. What you see in the first column is episodes of care that result in hospitalization, and those are taken for actual OBQI reports for New York State. The RN hourly wage with benefits, you'll see in the third column there, and we've broken that down to upstate and downstate. And in that fourth column, you'll see the New York State annual ACH salary cost that's equated with doing those resumptions of care and transfers. And if you look at the report that we send to your agency, it actually breaks this down for your particular agency and the potential cost savings that could be equated by reducing avoidable acute care hospitalizations. based on those same data, that second, third and fourth rows of that chart that are on slide number 22 show you the potential avoidable acute care hospitalizations based on research and data, and again, that's for New York State. Calculated out with the 3 hours for the resumption and transfer care, the hourly wage with benefits, and you'll see in that last column on the bottom right hand of the chart, the New York State potential annual salary savings that equate to reducing avoidable acute care hospitalizations. So there definitely is the potential for cost savings, both on a statewide level and also within your particular agency. There are definite benefits to reducing your rates. Additionally, moving on to slide number 23, this is an opportunity for your agency to participate, a very high-profile opportunity to showcase your agency. Agencies that register do receive a logo that you can use with your particular agency for marketing or to showcase to the community. It helps demonstrate your agency's commitment to quality, improve patient care to staff. You can use it with your referral sources and also the community. And also, the structure of the intervention packages and the materials and the report structure further develop your senior leadership support and involvement in your performance improvement efforts. And we've learned from those of you that have been focusing on this initiative for some time now that that senior leadership is very, very important and an integral part of the success of decreasing acute care hospitalization for your agency. So I'm going to turn this over to Lexi Silver, and Lexi's going to walk you through the registration process for those of you that have not yet registered for the campaign. Lexi.
Thank you, Sarah. Hi, everyone. First of all, I wanted to say that registration is ongoing. So if you need to still talk to people within your organization, you have lots of time to work this out to decide whether or not you want to join. Registration is really, really simple. Again, there's no obligation once you register. This is simply something to get you started. If you go to the website, and it's on all the materials, www.homehealthquality.org/HH/, you'll see on the right side of the page, Register Now. And all you have to do is click on that, and it brings you right to the sign-up page. You will need your Medicare provider number and the information of your first and second contact. Again, this is very simple. It's all laid out for you. If you have already registered and you haven't received a confirmation, you might want to check your spam mail. You'll need to add webmaster@wvmi.org to your inbox or to your safe list. Again, I know I'm speaking a little quickly, but this is really all laid out nicely for you on their website. If you have any problems, and I know there are a lot of problems the first few hours of registration, you can email Laura Dugan, which is ldugan@wvmi.org, if you have any problems getting through to their website. They're currently validating registrations that have been posted or that have been submitted. They haven't posted them yet. There was some duplications and some problems with the first few days, which kind of interfered with them getting everything straightened out. Once you have all your information up there, they do ask you if you're part of a chain. I'm assuming most of you know how to whether or not you are. You just have to agree to abide by their rules, and you click submit, and it's done. It's a very simple process. And again, we hope that you're going to join us all. Once you have registered, in 2 to 3 weeks, you will receive your first packet. There will also be a logo involved in the packet, which you can use for your marketing purposes. Those of you who registered in the first 36 hours, we'll receive a premier logo. The rest will receive participants. This is something you can use on your website as a marketing quality initiative reference. And that's really all there is to registration. While you're on the website, you might want to poke around. They have some other sites and comments like intervention packages that you can kind of look around. So I recommend you go on the website and not just register, but see what else you can find as far as information. And now I'm going to turn it over to Rose Doohan, who attended the summit in Baltimore.
Thanks, Lexi. This is Rose Doohan with Haney's. And yes, a bunch of us from the New York Lane attended the summit. And the HHQI summit was a really great kickoff. It was very inspiring and energizing. And we're really, everybody at the kickoff was really excited about the national campaign. And we're just thrilled that we can bring back the excitement and enthusiasm for this kickoff of the campaign here to New York State. As Sarah mentioned, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid are supporting this initiative 100%. And that support was evident at the summit by their presence there. And a lot of the CMS staff spoke. And one of the buzzwords that was going around CMS was using was trying to promote the optimal patient experience. And one of the things that I was thinking about as I was listening to them talk about the optimal patient experience was it's easy to talk about the optimal patient experience when you have the optimal patient and they're in the optimal environment and you have the optimal physician to work with and you have an optimal referral source. But I think here in New York, we especially are well aware that that's not always the case, that it's not always the optimal conditions. But one of the other things that really struck me was how far ahead of the game we are here in New York in working with those challenges and some of the barriers that are outside of the scope of simply providing excellent direct patient care. And I was just really proud to be representing New York State, and I think that we have a great wealth of experience here, and a lot of the work that the home health agencies have already done to date on the acute care hospitalization have really showed some of the ways to address some of the challenges, and I think a lot of the work that IPRO has done has really laid the groundwork to really jump into this campaign with 2 feet and really make a splash. So I think that was really exciting. The other major presence besides CMS at the summit were the representatives from the organizations that make up the National Executive Steering Committee for this Home Health Quality Initiative campaign. And we heard from representatives of each one of those organizations. And there's a bunch of organizations, and they're all listed on the website, the Home Health Quality Improvement National Campaign website. I believe it's under the Campaign Champions. There's a link on the website to Campaign Champions. And you can click that link, and then it'll take you to a list of the national organizations that are on the executive committee. And they are really behind this campaign and supporting it 100%. And a lot of the speakers at the speakers from each of the organizations spoke at the summit, and they talked about a lot of the resources that each of those organizations has available to all of the campaign participants. And I would urge everybody to go to the websites of those specific organizations. Again, the organizations are listed on the HHQI website, and I don't know if 100% if they have their website links to each of the organizations, but the Physical Therapists Association, the American Telemedicine Association, and the Occupational Therapists Association, and the Hospice Nurses Association all spoke, and they all referenced some excellent materials that they have available on their website, some resources, some educational kinds of things, and I would encourage everybody to go and check out those websites and see what those partners have to offer. Other than that, I'm really excited about this campaign, and I'll turn it over to Margaret.
Thank you, Rose. Welcome, everyone. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Margaret Clark, Assistant Director of Public Policy with the New York State Association of Healthcare Providers. I'm actually going to talk about perspectives from a few different speakers that were at the conference. And the first one was Dr. Robin Stone. She's a doctor in public health. She is the executive director of the Institute for the Future of Aging Services at the American Association of Homes and Services for the Aging. And she said in order to have a proper culture change, the main emphasis for this campaign needs to be on person-centeredness. She said we need to get back to the basics, and you cannot improve your workforce without focusing on your staff. She suggested different ideas such as mentoring and coaching rather than supervising in a hierarchical environment, fostering inter-staff communication and fostering a community for both clients and staff. Another thing that Dr. Stone had focused on was that the things you need to look at are for improvement are the relationship between caregivers and patients receiving the care. And on another perspective, we had another speaker, Dr. Stephen Winbury, who is a MD and medical director of QSource in Tennessee, which is the Tennessee QIO. He gave the physician perspective on home care. He said, according to a physician perspective, that right now the current system is failing as more home health leads to more hospitalization. He suggested that an ideal home health agency would have more communication with physicians, staff competence, and patient satisfaction. He said in order to do that, there needs to be administrative support for a culture change, proper staff hiring and training, and improved case management and staff support. Also, criteria for an appropriate culture would include proper education and training of staff. Dr. Winbury also concluded with that the solution is a culture where change can be adopted. I also noticed that in October 2007, the intervention packet will be focusing on the physician relationship. Another speaker that was at the conference was Dr. Barry Straub, who is the Director and Chief Clinical Officer of the Office of Clinical Standards and Quality for CMS. Their perspective is that CMS wants to assist patients and providers in receiving evidence-based technologically advanced care while reducing avoidable complications and unnecessary costs. Dr. Straub said that more money does not mean better quality. Some states with the highest amount of money actually had the most hospitalization. CMS, in partnership with other associations, must provide leadership to address these issues. Just to wrap up, I just wanted to leave you with something that I thought, Rose and I both thought, were very beneficial, recognized throughout the day, and that was that the main focus of the campaign will be on patient-centeredness, and that the campaign is a grassroots effort to improve patient care. There was a constant question brought up during the day, which was, what can each of us do to impact the optimal patient experience? And to continue with that focus throughout the day, they actually, CMS, they showed three patient videos of patients receiving home care. And all three of the patients were much happier in home care because they actually, they had the freedom to live in their own environment. One patient was constantly hospitalized for congestive heart failure, and the heart failure has since reduced and she was in home care. All three patients spoke of the one-on-one attention they have received and how their quality of life was greatly improved due to home care. And from my perspective, I thought that was probably the most beneficial, was to actually see these patients in their homes and receiving home care and how they were much happier receiving those services. So I'm going to pass this to Sarah, who is going to talk about the next steps.
Thanks, Margaret. We appreciate you and Rose sharing your perspectives of actually being there for the launch. I'm going to be looking at slide number 28, and we're going to talk about next steps. And these are next steps as far as registration and next steps for the New York rollout for this initiative. As Lexi mentioned, registration began on January 11th, 2007, last Thursday at noontime. We definitely appreciate the patience of those that you tried to register right then, because there were, she mentioned, some glitches with the website. If you can imagine all of the home health agencies nationally trying to register at once on one website, but we do appreciate your patience. If you didn't get an opportunity to register, you can do so just by following those instructions that Lexi provided to you. Registration is ongoing. There is no deadline for registration. Although we would like to see the majority of our agencies register by February, mid-February, because we're going to start our educational opportunities then, and only those agencies that are registered at that point will be invited to attend those sessions. So registration is ongoing, so you can still register. The first intervention package, as we mentioned before, is scheduled to be available the first week of March. It will be targeting the risk assessment tool, and we will be forwarding you, the iPro liaison for your agency, an email each month letting you know that the monthly intervention package has been posted to the campaign website. And we've listed there several times for you the actual campaign website that you can go to and visit. Campaign participants will receive an invitation to attend the initial New York Campaign Learning Session Conference in March. We're going to do an upstate session March 15th at the Haney's, the Healthcare Association of New York State, which is in Rensselaer, right outside of Albany, right off of I-90. And then the downstate session is going to be March 22nd down in our iPro corporate office. And you'll notice that we put the times specifically for the afternoon so that people would have the opportunity to travel if they'd like to attend that first learning session conference in March. What we're hoping to do at that first those campaign sessions in March is to review, first of all, the intervention package material and discuss strategies for implementation. We're going to review and help you interpret those agency-specific reports so that you get comfortable with them. Provide some what we call Quality Improvement 101, discuss the Plan, Do, Study, Act PDSA cycle and application to the campaign strategies, and also participate in some shared learning. So we'll provide you with an overview of, for instance, your OBQI reports, the reports that come to you as a participant of the campaign, and what to do with all of that information to build it into a quality improvement program targeting reduction of acute care hospitalization. Campaign participants are also going to be invited to monthly conference call sessions that are focused on implementation of the particular strategy of the month. We'll provide some shared learning for agencies that have implemented that particular strategy and have had success, share those success stories, and again, help you with the data interpretation. So if you've already registered to participate, we welcome you into the campaign. We're very excited that you're going to be working with all of us on this campaign. We're very energized about our work in the campaign and trying to improve our rate here in New York. If you've not yet registered to participate, we strongly encourage you to consider the information that we've shared with you, and particularly the benefits of participation, and to join us. Any of the people that were on today's call, we've provided on the next two slides the contact information for the IPRO project team and also each of the association members that have been on today's call. If you're hesitant or you're not sure or there's a particular question you have that we didn't answer today, we'd really like to hear from you so we could talk it through with you and help you with your decision. We hope that we've provided you with the information you were looking for today, but again, certainly we would be happy to discuss anything, any particular component of it with you. And with that, Melissa, I'd like to open up the lines for any questions or comments people may have.
Thank you, Ms. Butterfield. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will proceed in the order that you signal us, and we'll take as many questions as time permits. Once again, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue.
Okay, great. While we're waiting for that first question, I will share that we will be posting on our website within the next couple of days all of the material and information with a link to the campaign website. But as Lexi mentioned, you can go to that www.homehealthquality.org website now and get information on all aspects of the campaign to be able to preview that and share it with people within your organization.
And we'll take our first question from Ms. Gretchen Miller. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Gretchen Mullen at Staff Builders in Amherst, New York. How are you?
Good, Gretchen. How are you?
Good. I just have a question for the upstate session that you're going to schedule on March 15th. Will that be taped to the website in case we can't make it?
Yes, so certainly we can look at doing an audio recording of the session.
Okay. Very good. That's all. Thank you.
I'll take our next question from Andrea Gavin. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm here with Andrea. This is Pam Nasisi at DNS in Westchester.
Hi, Pam.
I had a question. First, the CMS data is often, you know, months behind. How up to date do you think it's going to be?
Actually, it's usually about 2.5 months behind,
right.
And you're correct. What they're hoping for is to be able to provide you with the most current data, less than a lag time of that, but currently it is about 2 months behind presently. They were looking at trying to reduce that down to a month's lag time. I'm not sure how far they've gotten with that process, but certainly they are looking at that. So the data that will come to you on those reports is the most current data that they have available at that point.
So
and that may be a month, month and a half, 2 months lag time.
All right, so it'll probably still... Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Okay. One of the difficulties we've struggled with, we've been part of the iPro project, is that the intervention packets are great, but our problem is being completely computerized. It's often a paper tool or a paper assessment tool is really useless to us. So will there be IS support in this project for agencies that really have to adapt it to an entirely computerized system?
Excellent question. The problem is that every agency has a different vendor and different computerized system.
Right.
So certainly we could help with guidance, but do we have a particular IT expert that could tell you how to integrate that into your system? No. We do have some agencies that have successfully done that, and certainly we could benchmark off of them to see how they went about doing that and share that with you.
Oh, that would be a help. That would be great. I mean, we know we can pay to have everything done by our vendor. They love that. But it would be nice just to see how other agencies have dealt with it.
Okay, we can certainly look into that and share that, because there's so many different computerized systems out there. It would be monumental to get how to do that with each one, but certainly we could look into that.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
And we'll take our next question from Vivian Torres-Suarez. Please go ahead.
Chaz from Self-Help Special Family Services. My question is, we're a special needs CHA, and I just want to clarify, did you identify that the data that we're going to be seeing on a monthly basis, we'll have an opportunity to kind of compare ourselves to other special needs CHAs to see what their data looks like?
The reports, the customized reports that will come out of the campaign only provide you with a comparison of national and state. They will come to you along with the agency trend reports that we have been sending you over the last 2 years now. That agency trend report that we send you, the second page of that report, gives you your agency rate and as compared month by month to the other special needs agencies in New York State. So that report you can actually look at to see how you rank in comparison to upstate special needs agencies and downstate special needs agencies.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The only thing is that...
Melissa, another question?
And at this time, we have one question remaining in the queue. Once again, if you would like to ask a question or if you have a follow-up question, please press star 1 to signal. As a reminder, if you're using a speakerphone, please be sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And we'll take our next question from Melissa Miller. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm Melissa Miller from VNSNY. I was wondering, although it's a little, I know that this is a focus on adult patients, but do you have any benchmarking information on hospitalizations for maternal child health patients or pediatric patients?
Currently, Melissa, the only data that, the data that CMS is using for this particular initiative is the data from the OBQI reports and Home Health Compare. That data is only specific to Medicare, Medicaid patients. So currently that is the data that we have available to us for this particular initiative. So unfortunately for the two categories that you've mentioned, we do not have information from CMS to provide guidance to you.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Elizabeth Sylvenson. Please go ahead.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Ms. Salveson, your line is open to ask a question. And we'll move on to our final question in queue from Deborah Hillard. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sarah. This is Deb Hillard.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. Being a long-term home health care program, I had some reservations and concerns, obviously, and this had to do with the fact that our long-term, you know, our acute care hospitalization rates tend to be a little bit higher, obviously. My question is there going to be a way for us to benchmark with other long-terms?
There actually has been, we've been providing opportunities with the ACH initiative to do that. We actually have 10 to 12 long-term care standalone agencies that have been able to reduce their acute care hospitalization rates, and we have a list of those agencies. They've agreed to be mentoring agencies, so there's the opportunity, if you'd like that list, to just contact us and you can have their contact information to talk with them.
Yes, I would.
We also have been doing the long-term care agency-specific acute care hospitalization calls on the educational monthly educational opportunities. And then those calls coming up, there's actual long-term care agencies, those successful ones, that are going to be sharing what they did and how they did it. So that, in addition to those agency trend reports that we send with the breakdown, probably would be very helpful.
Okay. I would like a copy of that list.
Okay. I'm writing it down right now, Deb.
Okay, thanks.
And Melissa, any other calls?
We do have one final question. Ms. Sharon Brown, please go ahead.
Hi, Sarah. This is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
My question, we have a CHA and a long-term combined here, so it looks as though our figures are really skewed because they're combined. I don't see that they're separated out here, which, of course, makes our whole agency looks like we have a really big return rate for hospitalization. But when we teased them out, they look, you know, along the same lines as everybody else. Am I correct in saying that that's what's happening, is that they're both being combined?
Sharon, you're absolutely correct. Back in 2002, CMS combined the combined agencies that serve the dual population. They combined everybody into one report.
Mm-hmm.
Again, New York State is the only one that has a long-term care program, so they sort of went with what was the majority of the rest of the states. So your rate may be being driven by those long-term care patients. We can help you with a patient tally report if you just contact one of our project team. That report will help you see the actual names of the patients that were hospitalized for that particular 12-month reporting period. So you can see if it's actually your long-term care patients that are driving your rate, or if it's the CHA patients or sort of a combined effort. The other piece of that is for agencies that serve a combined population, what we've seen is that the strategies that that are incorporated and used for patients that are on the CHA side aren't sometimes incorporated to the long-term care side. So we ask the question, what are you doing different for your long-term care patients? Should they be hospitalized or should they be identified as high risk? So we'd be glad to help you, if you give one of us a call, generate that list of names for you, and I think that'll help you further drill down to what's actually driving your rate.
Okay.
You will notice, we do notice that the combined agencies' rates are a little higher than the traditional just CHA-type agencies.
Yes. Thank you.
Great question.
And it appears there are no further questions at this time. Ms. Butterfield, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, great, Melissa. Thank you. I thank all of the representatives Rose and Margaret and Lexi that joined us here today for the presentation. Thank you also for joining us. I hope that we gave you some useful information to help you make a decision on whether you'd like to participate. We are all here, and you have our contact information. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to help you out with that. And again, we strongly encourage you to look at the campaign and consider for all the reasons that we reviewed with you, joining in and participating with the rest of the New York State agencies. So with that, I'll close the call, and thank you for joining us this morning.
And that does conclude today's iPro CMS Home Health Quality Improvement Conference call. We thank you so much for your participation and ask that you have a wonderful day. You may disconnect your line at this time.